Right, so you just heard about conversational data. Paula, what did you think about the talk?
Well, I enjoyed the talk for many reasons, and I would say, first and foremost, you covered a tremendous amount of ground, a lot of data, but with an enthusiasm that was so refreshing, and it brought it alive. It brought all the subjects alive, and you got your point across, and it was a lot of fun to be part of, to be in your audience.
Well, it was part of fun for me to have such an awesome audience.
I can tell. You enjoy it, so that comes through.
Thanks. All right, Sam, what did you think about the talk?
I thought your talk was absolutely excellent. I am deeply interested in digging deeper into the subjects and deeper into the identity aspects of the subject of what you're doing.
What did you think was the most important part?
I thought the glass of wine was excellent, but she had to grab it. What was the question?
What do you think was the most important lesson you learned in the talk?
To my point, the lesson is actually, and I don't mean to say that this was intentional, I think, not, but what was missing, i.e., in what was the future, what is the future, and how this develops in the future. I suspect that there's much more research underneath what you said than I heard, and I'd like to delve into that so I understand the past and the present better, to better understand what you were saying about the future, because to me that future component is a continuation of the pattern that you were referring to, that I felt was suggested and hinted at, but I want to know more about the research and how you got there.
Yeah.
And I felt that you summarized well, but the way in which we understand data and we arrive at data and participate in data almost may involve more of a Heidegger principle of our understanding ourselves as much as we're understanding what the core general group is putting in. And I think you've done a lot more work on that than you discussed, and I want to know more about that.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It really is, I think, the mindset shift that people are expecting now, what they see as individuals, mm-hmm. to also happen in the relationship with organizations.
Right.
And that, for me, is exciting part, because that means that we can work with organizations.
Yes, they are.
And those who get to deliver to people what they want are clearly set apart from those who just stick to the old spiel of basically treating the customer as the enemy, as opposed to treating the customer as somebody who can help them.
So if I could extrapolate from one area that I've been trying to spend a little time on related to yours, but I expect it's not in the same way you would phrase it, but I'm working with the idea of the relationship between, as in social networking, between people, but I'm also looking at the relationship between data points. And I think that there are historically a lot of data, not only databases, but data basements, things that go down and don't ever get surfaced up again. And I think part of the issue that we have, the challenge and the opportunity that we have, is to link those two, the people and their intentionality and the data and its intentionality, to learn more about how data itself can become an agent in this, not just the people and their identity.
Thank you, App.
Thank you. I hope that was constructive. But
wait, yeah. Thanks.
Okay, great.
Hey, I was going to just...
How are you, Jeremiah? I want to know, what did you think about my talk?
It was really great. I really liked the insights that you provided. Very interesting. You probably saw me tweet a couple of things, and I was impressed by... Actually, I didn't know that much about your background, but now I learned, you know, you've done quite a few things. So are you actually teaching at Stanford now?
Yeah, this quarter I teach a course called Data Mining e-Business. And it really is about reflecting from a relatively rigorous perspective what the effect is, not only of the data which we collect, you know, in passing, like Amazon.com, of course, does a very good job, or Google, but also in conversational media, the conversational data people are providing to us. You know, you're doing an amazing job there. And then, of course, what Ming Yao calls the new consumer data revolution. The question is about how does the mind of a consumer change and what do we need to do in order to satisfy.
Good. Well, good. Thanks so much.
Thank you. So, Giannetti, what did you think about my talk?
I think your talk was excellent.
What do you think, you know, was the main insight you got?
Well, that's a trick question. So the main insight I got, I think... It's a tough question. I'm trying to flashback. So I think the insight I got is just about the overall conversation, the community, and how to use the tools to really engage, and the evolution of the tools that have happened and that we use now, and to facilitate this dialogue in the changing marketplace.
Yeah. The marketplace of data. At the Web2 Expo, who you work for, in Berlin, I think you gave 4 talks total, and one of them was about the business of data.
Okay.
And it was started by Brady, who asked me, you know, Andreas, how do you see that? The fact that, you know, data which used to be very expensive, such as NAFTEC, had just been acquired by Nokia for $8-something billion. So that those data, which used to cost us hundreds of millions until we break even. Now, if we just instrument all the cars, we can collect those data.
Right.
So for me, I think the question about the business of data, the value of data, is a very important one. So what are your plans for Web 2.0 Expo in the near future?
What are our plans? Well, they hired me about 3-4 months ago as community and content manager to help engage the community, to get feedback from the community, and to understand where the marketplace is going and fulfill that need that our attendees have.
Mm. So you work with Jen and with Brady?
I work very closely with Jen and Brady.
Oh, that's great. Okay, thanks for coming today.
No, thanks for having me.
Great.
Sure.
Salim.
Yes.
What did you think about my talk?
About your talk?
Yes.
I didn't go to your talk.
You didn't go to my talk?
No,
really?
Because I had meetings in Palo Alto all afternoon, so I missed the whole afternoon.
Ah, at least Salim is honest, because you've said, oh, interesting, how you brought out those points and the contrasts you made.
No, but if you remember, we talked about your talk at lunch.
I know, but so that was before I'd written the talk.
Okay.
You know, I had a full hour between lunch and giving my talk.
And so what did you say in the talk?
I talked about
The business of data.
The business of data, and I talked about what we would do if we had all of Google's data.
Okay.
And that was a group exercise I gave.
Interesting.
And it really was about conversational data, about all the data which we create in conversation.
Yeah.
As opposed to the data which we are asked to provide. For instance, here with Jeanette right now, Web 2.0 gives you that survey after you register.
Yeah.
Which, of course, has nothing to do with the conversation, because they have that technology of marketing, of targeting, of segmentation.
Yeah.
Where they decide that if you say you have, you know, between 50 and 100 employees, they will sell you for that amount to the advertiser. But that's really amazing how Web 2.0 uses something which is so un-Web 2.0 in their marketing. But that's the way most advertisers still work. So the question is, how do we get advertisers to actually think with us and take advantage of those conversations about the conversational data, as opposed to sticking in the old world?
Mm-hmm.
But hey, okay.
That was your talk.
You. Yeah, that's my talk. What about you?
I'm not on the record, dude. No, I was just saying I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun shooting you today.
Yeah.
Because you are so fucking animated.
All right.
I love that about you.
Okay, so you produced the video.
All right.
And is it going to be online or?
If you like.
They probably just take some elements, the funniest moments, and show them on airlines, whether you want to see them or not, as like candid camera ideas.
Ich weiß es nicht.
Okay. David Spock, what did you think about my talk?
About your talk?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because I came in like the last 10 minutes of it, so I missed like everything you were talking about.
What about the last 10 minutes?
I can't get an intelligent answer to your question. I'm sorry, I have ignorance completely about your talk.
No problem. Another honest person. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I have to be honest.
Giovanni, what did you think about the talk?
I loved it. You were, you know what you're like, and don't take offense, you're like a really hip mad scientist.
Yes. Yeah. I got that haircut just a week ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, he's got, yeah. No, it was great. Really great. It was nice. It really just blew people away for a few moments. Just think about some other issues that we're not prepared to think about, which is great.
Yeah, I think my purpose really is to make people think. So the way I like to think about my goal is, I want to have the rate of change in their minds as high as possible.
Yeah.
So for me, I mean, I prepared the talk just after lunch. It really is, what can I tell them in that current situation of where they are in this conference? So they think about stuff and I change their mind. I make them more aware of certain issues.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, The alternative is rote stuff they know. And yeah, no, it's really good.
No.
So we're going to be working with you, right?
I'm looking forward to that,
it's
yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, no, I mean, we already have two engagements lined up, so...
Well, it's GE and what's the other one?
And Best Buy.
Best Buy, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Excellent. And where do you live? Where's your home?
I live in San Francisco.
Oh, you do? Okay,
and, of course, on Vigen.com. Stacey, what did you think about the talk?
Your talk particularly?
Yeah.
I wanted to take your class. I wanted you to go on and on and on and take everything bit by bit and go really, you were meaty. And my brain was just going, okay. And I loved it. And I wanted to hear more about the applications of data and how you can change the world with data. And that's where I'm going with the visual thing. It's not just pretty colors. It was more like, how can you see patterns and affect changes in the world? I mean, that's my interest.
Yeah. No, your question was good. And
I know what you
if
meant.
You have data, which actually are ordered, for instance, in the case what Peter showed, by time, then visualization are a very good thing. It's just that what most people say when they talk about visualizations, it's just some gimmicky thing.
No, no, no.
And then, as I said, the illusion of richness. People think that they see something. And I didn't know where you're coming from because I didn't know you at the time. And I would have answered very differently had I understood, you know, that you actually have a very solid background. As
oh, I don't. You don't understand. I have no solid background. I mean, no. I'm an art major who's in customer service. I'm not a techie, but I don't know. I just want to take it to the nth degree, and I want data. I want to understand data. I was bad at math. Data scares me.
Yeah.
So you talking about it turned me on. It got excited about data, and I'm like, how could I understand data? How could it make an effect on how I think or what choices I would make if I was a world leader or if I was... But I need it fed to me differently.
That's why I started really saying that my belief is that companies should help make people better decisions. And you should only pay for a piece of data as much as it makes you at a maximum by making a better decision. If the data you're collecting has no impact on the decision you're making, then, you know, it can be art and there's nothing wrong with it, or religion or something,
right,
but from a business perspective, it's not the right thing to do.
Of course, of course. And I wasn't there from a business perspective so much.
No, but that really is, I think, what I'm always coming back to.
What's your passion with it?
Yeah, that the goal has to be to make sure you can make better decisions based on what you can do.
Well, who do you think is really doing that out there? Who's giving good data that
helps? To be honest, Amazon certainly is a good company in the spirit of helping people make good decisions. Google is a good company.
Which one?
Google is a good company helping me make decisions. There's a number of companies which are good in that space. And I think the companies which are, quote, just trying to sell you something and not trying to provide the decision support people are looking for are not doing all that well.
Right, right. What about Altos Research? I only know about them because I'm in real estate business. Altos Research, do you know them?
No,
they're
but
probably
real,
not big,
real estate is a wonderful example where with companies like Trulio and other companies where people, Zillow is a good example, Redfin, where people provide data. And suddenly, this balance shifts, that information asymmetry that the multiple listing agent has access, privileged access to the same multiple listing.
Exactly.
Well,
to somebody else's home.
So then, opening it up and letting those people make some money in the short term who actually remove that information asymmetry. By the long term, it's a better place. Similar example is the market for speakers. That it's a very inefficient market. So people hear me speak here and they say, oh, Andreas, we'd like you to speak at this event. That's a very inefficient market.
Right.
So there are some agencies such as Monitor Talent, to which Peter Hirschberg and I belong, who actually make those connections efficient. So I think we're just at the first step where these conversational data are going to be used to help people make better decisions. But I think it's a good journey to embark on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you love your work?
I totally love it. Absolutely.
I can tell.
Thank you. Rebecca, what did you think about my presentation?
I thought your presentation was wonderful. Very informative.
What did you like about it?
I'm a data girl. I love digging into the data and seeing what you can see from it.
Dig into the data.
Yeah.
The data girl.
She's a data girl.
What insight did you take away? What insight from the talk did you think was, you know, worth remembering?
Best insight. I like some of your stuff from Amazon. That's how it all started. I like the first, you know, days at Amazon. Like, oh, what are we gonna do with all this? You know?
Yeah.
But that's exactly how you have to go about it. You have to, like, dig into all of it and then see what comes to the surface.
And then after this first, you know, wow, what do we do all with this? Then being driven by what actions set do we have? What actions do we need to pick from? And then saying, okay, let's try them. Let's have good metrics in place and see which ones actually work well. That's a very powerful methodology, very powerful philosophy of evolving a business well. All right.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who doesn't believe in visualization?
No, Peter.
He does.
Peter.
I knew exactly what you meant when you answered me, and I was like,
so I have a question, Peter.
Yes.
What was the most important thing for you today? I've been fighting with everybody, told them, everybody tells me that my talk was the best. I said, no, Peter's talk was the best. But besides your talk.
The most important thing today?
The deepest insight.
Well, you know, in many ways, we're hanging out here with the home team. This group of people here in Palo Alto and in the Bay Area are people who know this stuff. So it's very different when you go to a place where everybody who comes is finishing each other's sentences and is pulling for the future, as opposed to what often happens, which is you'll give this talk, and at the end, someone will come up to you and go, that's really nice, but what happens if we really are transparent? Or won't I get fired if I do this? Or our company can't do that. So what was interesting today was to see what it's like when you're in the middle of the cauldron that's inventing all of this, and here are the different set of questions.
Yes, so when I looked at the list of participants, I was worried that we'll be talking to people who run PR agencies who last thing they want to hear is hear anything from the public, because after they've put on the 5 hash marks, that's it. The people carefully craft their arias and perform them with the laughter and applause already planned in. But I was actually very surprised about the openness of the audience.
I would say that, you know, running a PR agency in the Bay Area and being against the power of the audience or the idea of open and transparent communications would probably be about as successful as running a vehemently anti-gay bar in San Francisco. It's like the wrong place to make that stand, right?
So the final question I have for you, Peter, is when are you going to see the Shushan Men again?
It's an excellent question. We're going to be organizing a global trip to go visit the Shushan Men. The Conversation Group wants to sign up key marketing and communications and change management people from all over the world to go to ShoeFest 09. ShoeFest is going to be held at Grand Central Station, and the Shushan Men will be preaching to us. Even as we speak, Anthony Robbins is coaching him on how to release his tapes and talk to us. I'm very excited about ShoeFest.
We're all the Shushan Men.
Right.
That's a deep insight. I'm the Shushan Men.
And this is what he wants you to know. By the way, I have to tell you a true Shushan Men story. I've gone to him about 3 times. And the 3rd time I called him up, I said, we need to get together again and talk. Can I come by and interview you? He goes, there's a problem. Because, like, the first 2 times I just show up, get my Shushan's interview, because there's a new rule. Grand Central Station says you have to pay a location fee to film here. It's like, well, I'm not Hollywood. I'm a guy with a camera. Goes, no. Ever since, and there was some Tom Hanks film where they cast a Shushan Man, and he was in it. He goes, ever since I made that picture, Grand Central doesn't like it. Followed by but I know the guy that can help you out. So he morphed from Shushan guy to agent. So this went on for a while, and I realized that Grand Central didn't want to issue a location permit, and I realized I'd already done the establishing shot, so I could actually film him anywhere and have a more interesting picture. So I went up to his turf. I took the 102 bus up to Harlem, and I interviewed him in a soul food joint. And so he's sitting there with a picture of Malcolm X behind him and talking to me about Google's acquisition of YouTube.
On that note, Peter, thank you for organizing this wonderful event.
And we'll see you at ShoeFest 09.
All right, ShoeFest 09 it is. Thank you.
By the way, can I just say something? If you're listening to this and wonder, what are we talking about? The Shoeshine Man is cataloged at my blog, atomicbomb.com, and you can scroll down and hear him.
Thank you, Peter Hirschberg.
Yes, me.